try and make it simple, because there's two main things I want to get across. In the world today, we have lots of myths. There are things out there that people are convinced are true, they believe it wholeheartedly, but the reality is it actually isn't true. Let's have a look at some of these myths, because they've existed throughout all of history. They've always been here. There's nothing new under the sun. A good example is bats are born blind. I believed this for quite a number of years, along with the moon being made of cheese. That's also a myth, by the way. But bats can actually see. They see black and they see white. Bats are not actually blind. Another great myth is lightning doesn't strike in the same place twice. If lightning strikes in the back garden of your home, do not run into your back garden. It is not safe to run where the lightning has just hit. Lightning can and does strike twice. A very popular myth today is that the earth is flat. This one is all over the news, it's on TV shows, it's becoming quite popular. Just to clarify, the earth is not flat, it is a myth. Of course, you know, if you were to prove that IKEA made the earth, then you might just sway me that the earth is potentially flat. But, last I checked, the Bible said in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, not in the beginning IKEA created the heavens and the earth. So there's lots of myths out there. But there's another one that is very popular today, and people even believed it right throughout history. And the myth is that when you're suffering, when you're in pain, when life gets difficult, when life is hard, it's obviously something you've done wrong. You're suffering. This man was born blind. And his disciples walk up to Jesus and they say to him, who sinned? Was it the blind man? Or was it his parents? There's an assumption that bad things happen to bad people, and therefore good things happen to good people. Well, of course, we all know that is not accurate in any way, shape, or form. But the reality is that we live in a world that is full of suffering. It's full of brokenness. It's full of heartache. And everyone at some point, obviously some worse than others, will go through some sort of suffering or trials or difficulty. It's just the way the world is at this moment. Of course, the Bible says there'll come a day when there'll be no more suffering in the world. It's a myth. Jesus tells us it's simply not true. But what Jesus does say regarding this blind man is that he was born blind so that the works of God may be manifested, they may be demonstrated, they may be seen through this blind man. In other words, what the Bible is telling us is pay attention, listen up, I'm about to do something very interesting and absolutely mind-blowing. Keep that in mind as we sing our next song before we move on to the second part. Jesus is greater than the greatest heroes. And it says they're the Son of God. This passage, I think, demonstrates that actually Jesus is God. The works that God will do through this blind man. Thank you. The chair is still important, by the way. It's not just there for decoration. So coming back to our passage. Again, turn your Bible on, open it up. You can have a little look, so you can check what I'm saying. We've been introduced to this blind man. And it's quite hard for us to understand what it would be like to be born blind. And to live a life never being able to see. It'd be hard to relate to him. So on Tuesday, I thought I would make a little bit of an attempt to show a group of people what it would be like. So I went into the cubs, I caused havoc, I wreaked havoc, and I blindfolded some of them, and I set up an obstacle course. I'm glad to say no one broke anything, it was okay. Your children were safe. But basically, they were blindfolded. They had to go around a big set of chairs, they had to go through a tent. And by the way, they have to go in the red side and come out the blue. I'm colourblind, but I can tell the difference. I know which was which, so they couldn't cheat. They had to find a pencil, which pencils are small, and it was very well hidden. They had to put the pencil in the bin, which is even funnier. And then they had to find a very specific chair and sit in it. To be fair, they'd done very well. But they had help. The blind man in the story, he could beg. We're told that he was a beggar at the temple. And they could ask for help from their fellow cubs, who gave them guidance to navigate round the course. obviously when you're blindfolded, it's a lot harder than when you can actually see. The other thing I did was I blindfolded them again, and I drew roads on a piece of paper. I've got a couple of them on the screen. Somebody decided to decorate them for me. It was, I won't mention names and point fingers. I know who it was. Jacob. But basically the idea was you've got to start at point A and stay on the road. I can't even stay on the road, sorry. And end up at point B. As you can tell, they did a pretty good job. Although, to be fair, they stared at the piece of paper for 5 minutes, closed their eyes, blindfolded, put the pencil on, and memorized the route. So they've done a lot better for that reason. But generally speaking, you can still see in places where they completely went off the road, as you can see again just there, and it was very difficult and challenging. Of course, when they took the blindfold off and done it again, they stayed on the road. Not on the left side, which is another story, but one step at a time. I asked them, how do they think this blind man would have felt? Being able to not be able to see, struggling all his life, and magically, boom, he gets in the bath, he gets out, and he can see. And they said he would be happy, amazed, excited, and shocked. Which I think is pretty accurate. It's the closest we can fully get to understanding what it might have felt like. However, I want to make a proposal today. That we are all born like this man. We are all born spiritually blind. Now, I know what you're saying. And I would have said this 6 years ago before I became a Christian. I would have gone, yeah, right, I can see perfectly fine. Although I've just admitted I'm colorblind, so there's a contradiction there. But generally speaking, I would have laughed and said, no, I can see perfectly fine. And if that's you today, I just want to demonstrate very quickly that actually, you cannot trust your senses. Right? My eyes went completely funny looking for these, so I do apologize if you start stumbling out of the pews later on. Here's the question. Is that picture moving or is it still? Is it still? Does it look like it's still though? You sure? Yes? No? Maybe? I'm not sure. Whoa, wait, hang on. No? Okay, well, the picture is still. It's just your eyes can't comprehend what's going on. Now you move your eyes, obviously it looks like it's moving. The picture is actually still. But your eyes have deceived you. You can't see it clearly. How about this one? Are the planks of wood side by side or on top of each other? It's quite a bit of an illusion, isn't it? It throws your eyes. They're side by side. No, they're on top. But the side. Maybe it's both. But no, it can't be both. It can't be both side by side and on top. That's ridiculous. Your eyes have deceived you again. You can see people like, hang on, and they get my ruler out and my little bubble thing. Are these pictures the same picture? I don't mean the same picture of the same building. I mean, are they the exact same picture side by side? No? Sure? No, yeah. I'm not confident in your ability to use your eyes at the minute, to be quite. It seems like some of you have got blind spots, okay? They are the same picture. They are the same picture. And then another one. Are the monsters in this picture the same size? Yeah. Does it look the same size? Yes, no. I'm going to say that. No, yes, I'm not quite sure. This is a trick. Okay, that's an interesting theory. If you're a psychologist or you study psychology, you've probably studied this in immense detail, at which point you're going to know exactly where I'm going with my talk right now. But the whole point of this is that actually you cannot trust your senses. Your senses can very easily deceive you. This is just a simple, basic example. There's plenty more we can look through, but time will not allow us to do that. So like I was saying, I'm going to presuppose that we are born spiritually blind. You cannot trust our senses wholeheartedly. So what is this spiritual blindness? Well, of course, there are many ways of looking at it. The Bible gives many definitions. The dictionary goes off on its own little thing. So I tried to simplify it as best I could. But really, it's not being able to see God as he truly is. It's not being able to know certain truths of the Bible in great depth and in reality. God is who gives understanding to what the Bible says. So therefore, if we can't see, or if we're spiritually blind, we're not going to fully understand what the Bible teaches. It also affects how we understand and how we know ourselves, and it also prevents us from seeing things from God's perspective. Now, of course, that's not to say you cannot, you know, learn about God. You cannot study the Bible and understand a few bits and pieces. But the problem is that will only be in theory or theoretically. spiritually blind people can't and don't see these things how they are. They don't see them in reality. They don't see who God is, and they don't grasp the reality of what the Bible teaches. It's like the classic football team. You make a list of players, you put them on the thing, and you're like, wow, this team will beat anybody. You then draw your little fancy tactics of, this player does this, this player moves there, and we'll have this tactic, and we'll play this game, we'll make a tactical substitution halfway. And then they go out on the pitch, best tactics in history, best team in the world, and next thing they come in, it's half time, they're 6-0 down. What happened? Well, on paper, it looked great, it was amazing. But reality was a completely different thing. So what's the cure for this spiritual blindness? Well, it's faith in Jesus. It's faith in the King. See, the blind man has his eyes covered in mud, but he still cannot see. Yet Jesus tells him to go and wash in this pool of Siloam. By the way, that pool still exists today. You can go and visit in Israel. Here's a picture. It's partly excavated. But actually, this is a real place. The Bible's not making things up. It's genuinely a location you can go and visit. So he actually goes into the pool. He does what Jesus tells him to do. Now, of course, some people at this point will think, ah, I've got to do something to get saved. It's not just faith, James. Ha, I've caught you out. Well, works will not save you. They will not get you to heaven. That's another myth, okay? To add with the other myth we've discussed earlier. But it's faith in Christ that saves. And in this case, the blind man is saved by faith. Let me explain what's going on in that verse there, where he's covered in mud, he goes into the pool. What's happened is, it's like me saying, here's a nice chair. I have faith in this chair. I am confident, I have full faith in the mechanics, the designers, and the manufacturers, that when I sit on this chair, it will not collapse. It will hold my weight. But if I refuse to sit in the chair, am I really demonstrating that I have faith? In fact, worse still, do I actually have faith in the chair? No. You can say you've got faith in the chair all day, but if I don't sit on it, and this collapses now, it's going to be the funniest thing in history, but it hasn't collapsed. Thank you, Jesus, for that. So I've demonstrated my faith. I've demonstrated that I have faith in the chair. And it's the exact same thing with this blind man. He demonstrates he has faith in Jesus by actually going into the pool. It's his faith that saves him. Now, of course, the problem today is many of us, and I was like this myself, we have too many questions. I've got loads of questions. I don't fully understand this whole thing. I don't understand the Bible. I don't understand Jesus. Look, I've got too much. No. I need to have a better understanding. I need to have answers to all my questions before I can put my faith in Jesus. Well, the truth is you'll never have a full understanding of anything. And the reality is there will always be questions unanswered. For every one question you get answered, there'll be at least another two that you can think of to follow it. History, science, philosophy, many subjects that the world studies and thrives and enjoys are just examples of the fact that there are many unanswered questions, many unsolved mysteries, many concepts and ideas we just cannot comprehend and understand. But of course, we don't throw those subjects out the window because we don't have questions and answers or because we lack understanding. That would be to throw the baby out with the bathwater. By the way, that's not a good idea. Don't do it. So why would we do it with Jesus? Why could we do it with him? It's only consistent, is it not? If we throw the subjects out with Christ for the same reason. It's faith that will remove spiritual blindness. That helps us to understand and see things not just in theory, but also in reality. The picture that I think most have actually got right is a great example here. Are the monsters the same size? Yes, they are the same size. But it doesn't look like they're the same size. You can't really see how they can possibly be the same size. It's like, James, clearly they're not the different sizes. I can't understand it. I can't see why you're saying what you're saying. I have too many questions regarding this. I can't just believe that they're the same size. Yet it's faith in Christ that actually leads to answers to our questions. It's faith in Christ that can actually give us understanding and can enable us to see they're the same size. That's sort of what it's like to be spiritually blind, to be blind altogether, and then all of a sudden you can see clearly. Faith in Christ, it isn't blind faith. That's another myth. It's not blind faith. It's faith that opens your eyes. It's faith that helps you to see. Let's quickly pray and I'll hand over back to Simon.